Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colt Molesky, bring you daily Timberwolves content, and I am accompanied, and really, I am almost shadowed now by our co-host, the intrepid Trey Flynn. He's coming in with hot takes. He's coming in with the sizzling fire. He's making my job a lot easier. He's making our show look a lot better. Trey, thanks for joining the show again. It's fun to have a co-host now. It's fun to be consistently bouncing stuff off of the same person.
Yeah, man, it's been so much fun. That was quite an introduction. But I'm really, really excited for being able to weep in my sorrows with somebody else about the Timberwolves, and we're not doing well, and to be super ecstatic with someone else, too, and we're doing super well. So let's get started.
Misery loves company. It's going to be good for us. So today we're going to be shooting from the hip most of this episode. We're going to be talking about trades for the Timberwolves. Well, now we're not going to specifically, maybe we'll bring up some names, but mostly this is going to be what the Timberwolves still need, what piece still needs to elevate this roster, because I think it's become apparent after, or at least it should be apparent after a three-game losing streak and another struggle on the road on that West Coast trip. There's another trip where the Timberwolves are just really struggling, can't find their C-Leagues on the road there. And so something clearly needs to be done to kind of close that gap between where they are now and where I think they need to be. We're going to talk about what that player is, what that player looks like, where that needs to be, and then we're going to close out with a little talk about the Suns. But first, we're going to talk about what this team needs. And Trey, the first thing that jumps to mind when they're getting blown out 141 to 130 is they need somebody, just another piece on the perimeter they can count on defensively.
I completely agree. I was going to say a floor spacer. I think a lot of people were jumping to the center position with Gorgui Dieng and trying to get him out of there. But I think we can rely on Saric and Tolliver at times if Dieng ever leads this team to be the backup big man. So I think the floor spacer is really what separates this team from other teams. For example, I don't think we would be able to have a close game with Denver if we repeated what we did at the end of last season. Even though we came out the win there, I don't think we'd be able to do that this year because they have so many floor spacers on that team and they run at such a high pace. If anything, Sacramento showed us we're missing that one guy, losing by 11 points in that 141-130 loss. We're missing one guy to just shoot up threes. I mean, it really helps when you have that guy that can keep the defense on their heels. And there are definitely some guys on the market, all the way from, you know, J.R. Smith to Justin Holiday. But it just depends on how much Minnesota's willing to give up.
Well, and I don't think it'd be the worst thing in the world to try a lineup where Saric is playing the five as a small ball five, and you throw out like Okogie, Tolliver, Wiggins, and Rose around him, something like that, just to really try and pick up the pace of the basketball, maybe throw teams a little curveball there. I mean, this team has really talented wings. I really love seeing Okogie out there. Wiggins has had some really good moments this season. Robert Covington has been really great since he came to Minnesota. I have no problem getting another wing and just going really long and lanky basketball and seeing what happens when you throw those guys around a player like Rose who wants to push the tempo. The problem is I'm not sure if you're seeing a little bit of a stretch from Tibbs. You're seeing a little bit more creativity this year, but I don't know if he's there yet where he can not play Gorgui at least 10 minutes a game. And that's unfortunate because I don't think that Gorgui is giving you a ton that you're not getting from a guy like Saric, or you're not getting it from a guy like Taj Gibson. And Saric can help space the floor. He's really good in transition. I just don't think Gorgui is versatile enough to justify him grabbing those 13, 15 minutes, because when you have as many guys as the Timberwolves have on their roster, that's a really big chunk of time.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I mean, there's, you know, it's important to note guys like Robert Covington completely change the environment of the team, not just because of his locked on defense, but also because of that 3-point shooting. So he definitely provides another characteristic of this team that we haven't seen before, which is quick shooting off the bounce. So if we can somehow get another guy like that, I think it'll definitely help. Losing those minutes from Dieng and Jeff Teague seem obvious to us, but as we've talked about previously, that might not seem obvious to Tom Thibodeau. Ultimately, I think that a deal is going to have to be made. But again, it just lies with what we have. We don't really have a lot of assets to move. I mean, the biggest asset I can think of right now that teams could need would be Tyus Jones, just because of his youth and potential and that contract that's small. And we'd have to pair him probably with somebody like Jang.
Do you think that a guy like Otto Porter would do more damage in the locker room than good on the floor?
I don't think the problem with Otto Porter has been personality mismatch with Washington. I think it's just him being misused in Washington. They really try to throw him at that stretch four, and he obviously looks very uncomfortable in that position at times. That's why they've tried to put Morris in that spot. And I think, you know, playing with the ego of a guy like John Wall or even a Jimmy Butler hurts guys like Porter, who are more like Andrew Wiggins type guys on the floor, kind of lead by example guys. And I really think that if Porter came to Minnesota, he'd be a nice piece, especially because we can move Wiggins to the two if need be, or they can just play our wing positions. So that would be a nice piece. But again, I don't know what Washington is willing to give up at this point. I guess you'd have to hope that they lose the next few weeks and they would be willing to give up Porter for a couple firsts and a player like Jang.
Yeah, it's interesting because Washington's gotten themselves a couple wins, and now that's the thing when you're trading with an Eastern Conference team, is that if they string along four wins in like a week and a half, 2 weeks, they're almost ready to say that they're playing for playoff position again, just because those bottom two spots, I believe, still have teams with losing records in the eight-seeded spots of the Eastern Conference. So you really don't need to get super hot to play yourself in position. Yeah, so the last two spots, 7-8 for the Eastern Conference. Detroit's 13-13, Orlando's 13-15. So even Washington at 11-17, I mean, if they wrap off another three victories here in the next week, they could be thinking about, oh, maybe we could take Orlando's spot. And so it's tough to trade with teams in the Eastern Conference, fringe teams in the Eastern Conference, just because I don't think it's going to take a lot of wins to get into that eighth seed. And for a team like Washington, getting into the playoffs is enough to justify whatever has happened this season. So it might be hard to pry away guys from them soon. So I think if you got to do a trade, you probably got to do it quickly if you're thinking about anybody on that Washington team.
Right, and I think if it has to be Washington, I definitely like Porter. I don't think, again, we have enough assets for a guy like Beal or Wall, or money, cap space for sure,
yeah.
In Wall's case at least. So I think a deal would most likely have to be made elsewhere, maybe on a tanking team. I actually just wrote a piece about this recently. What are your thoughts on Jeremy Lin for Atlanta?
I'm not sure. Gosh, that's a good question, because I feel like he would actually kind of help with their three-point shooting. I don't know how much he would help their defense, though, and that's really the part that you need from the guy you're bringing in, right? You need him to be a two-way player, because they can't have another guy who just contributes offense, because that's clearly just not enough when they're facing teams that are playing really up-tempo transition basketball. And I know that against it seemed like the Kings, I mean, against Portland or the Warriors, Kogi really didn't play at all. And against the Kings, he played, but only a very small chunk of time. And so I'd be really interested to see him get more minutes, because then I think that improves their defense. If he's playing more minutes with Robert Covington, I think that actually gives them a pretty good defensive look. But I think the next piece they need to bring in, he doesn't have to be a defensive ace, but he can't be a defensive negative. And I'm not sure that Jeremy Lin is that guy. That said, he would help their offense for sure.
So like a solid 3-and-D guy is what you're thinking, like a Trevor Ariza maybe?
Exactly. Somebody who you really know can lock up somebody. I mean, Trevor Ariza would be good too, just because if you bring in Trevor Ariza and you play, I don't know, like him, Covington, Wiggins together, you could really have Trevor Ariza try and instill kind of that switching mentality, because I feel like all three of those guys flipping and switching quickly would really help cloggy and muddy the passing lanes for teams because of their length. And I think that could be really interesting. But again, I think the guy you bring in has to help this defense somehow. And if he's shooting 5 threes a game, that's good as well. But it really has to be a defensive presence, because the Timberwolves, I mean, it's become clear over the two road trips. If you're looking at just those two road trips, it's become clear that they can't stop anybody from outside.
I completely agree. It's tough. I mean, because a lot of these guys that you're going to be taking off tanking teams and you're trying to swap for either Jang and draft pick or even a Tyus Jones are going to be older players. And obviously, what they lack on the defensive end, they make up for in IQ. So a guy like Trevor Ariza kind of has both. He's a smart basketball player. He plays pretty good defense at this age. And he also can knock down a three here and there and some shots. So it's kind of tough. I could definitely see a move made for Ariza. It's just he's so hot in this market right now. There's so many big franchise names related to his name right now. So I've been trying to think of other guys before we got into this. I have one more guy for you, which you might think is interesting. He's out of Chicago, and it's pretty much turmoil in Chicago right now. It's insane what's going on there. Justin Holiday, he's averaging close to 2 steals a game, 13 points, shooting 40% from three. He's a pretty solid guy.
I love this one. I love this one. And I was actually just about to bring us to the same team as well. I was thinking Chandler Hutchinson, the rookie out of Boise. I think both of these guys, you're getting the same kind of thing. Both are long athletes. Both are going to stretch the in space to floor for you on offense. They also, I like how both can, you can either have them just sit outside in that corner, or they can both really make a fun run to the rim for you. I mean, they're both really dangerous if they're crashing and getting to the rim, getting to the boards on offense and on defense. And I think they're both going to create turnovers for you. And so I like both of those. I like Justin Holiday and I like Hutchinson. The other name that popped into my head, I mean, and if you're going for younger guys too, maybe a better contract, maybe some unproven guys that you can steal away for cheap, and then 2 years down the road, it looks like a real steal because you're able to develop them. Another guy, going back to Washington, Troy Brown Jr., he's out of Oregon. I really like his length. I really like his dedication to the perimeter that he would give the Timberwolves. He's averaging 0.3 steals. He's only averaging 6.3 minutes, so I haven't really seen a big sample size from him, but I think he's somebody, again, who can kind of play like a Josh Okogie. He's going to be really good in transition, really good athlete. He's going to space the floor for you, but he's also going to create turnovers, get in the passing lanes, really disrupt a team's offensive flow. And he's a young guy on that rookie contract. I think all of those things are positives for the Timberwolves. And if they can get somebody like that, that would be a huge get. I know that'd be hard to pry away a 15th pick in the draft from the Washington Wizards, but if you can grab somebody like that or Hutchinson, that would be really awesome. But I think even a Trevor Ariza would help this team.
Yeah, both those guys, Hutchinson and Brown Jr., definitely some threats on both sides of the court. Funny enough, I did a mock draft last season, wrote one up, and had the Washington Wizards taking Josh Okogie and the Minnesota Timberwolves taking Troy Brown Jr. And the guy I related to Brown Jr. the most, actually, funny enough again, was Josh Richardson. He plays really, really well off the ball, and he's almost deceptively super freakish athletic because he comes on the court, looks a little bit lanky, but he can just throw it down, man. And he plays great on the ball defense. So he's definitely a great asset for Washington. It really comes down to, and I don't know how you feel about this, how many assets are they willing to give up? And how much do they have realistically to give up? So I think it comes down to that of everything.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, is that when you talk about the asset that you really can move is Tyus Jones, right? And you obviously can give draft picks up, but teams are going to want something else, and you're not going to trade away Rose, you're not going to trade away Towns, or I'm not sure if they give up on Wiggins yet. And so you look at what this team has. Tyus Jones is really one of the only player assets that they have, and you got to be careful too, because you're not sure if Rose comes back next year, you're not sure how long Teague stays on this team. I mean, you don't want to trade a young point guard like Tyus Jones and have it be you trade him for kind of 1 year rental on Trevor Ariza, and then you're giving up a future starting point guard. I mean, I know that he's had his struggles this year, but you just got to be careful trading an asset like that. So the Timberwolves in a really critical time right now, as they're thinking and looking at this roster and deciding if they want to move pieces, if they want to grab assets, really got to be careful with what you're giving up, because I think if you're trading Tyus Jones for anything less than another rookie like a, or not another rookie, but a rookie like a Hutchinson, somebody who's going to be around on a reasonable deal for a while for the Timberwolves, I don't know if you want to give up on Jones for like a rental, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, Tyus Jones has too much potential to give him up for a rental. If it'd be different, it'd be a different scenario if Jimmy Butler was still on this team and maybe we added some talent like a Covington somehow. It's not a championship-built team right now. We're just trying to fight for a playoff spot. So you don't want to give up a guy with that much youth and potential for just a one-year rental, maybe like Ariza. So it really comes down to if they can get a young guy. So I totally agree with that. Whether it's Frank the Tank out of New York, I know a lot of guys like are on against Frank the Tank right now in New York and don't think he has what it takes to play basketball for the Knicks. And he's definitely on the market. So it could even be a young guy like that who's already not really a rookie, but he's had a year in the league and the team's kind of given up on him, either like a Josh Jackson Phoenix too.
How upsetting is it for you every day to know that Alonzo Trier was out there just for anybody and he would have been perfect on this team and the Knicks ended up grabbing him and now he's going to be on that team? What was the contract they signed him to, like a two-year deal or something?
Two-year, $3.7 million, I think.
Yep, that was just out there for anybody and he's awesome.
It's crazy, man. It's almost like, and I don't want to put a ceiling too high, it feels a little bit like the Donovan Mitchell-ish situation. Not where, obviously, Mitchell was drafted high, but where Mitchell should have been a top three pick and Trier should have definitely been drafted in the first place, high in the first round. So New York got a steal with that one. And when Kristaps comes back, they're going to be a real threat in the East.
Yeah, that's that one's unfortunate. He's averaging 23.2 minutes per game, 11.3 points per game. He's shooting 47% from the field, 39% from three. He's pulling in 3.1 rebounds, 4 steals, 0.4 blocks, 1.9 assists. He's just a good player, and you can fit him in anywhere, and he's going to space the floor. It hurts me that he was just out there because he would have been perfect. But oh well, that's life. That's life. We're going to get to a quick break for some sponsors, and then we're going to talk a little more about the Suns, get you more prepared than you already were for this Suns game. All right, so the Timberwolves finish out the road trip with the Phoenix Suns. This should be a winnable game, right? I mean, I was feeling okay about it until the Timberwolves got blown out, and then the Suns won against the Mavericks last night.
Yeah, the Suns won against the Mavericks 99-89. And funny enough, too, the Suns have beaten the Mavericks 7 games in a row. Past 7 games they played each other, which is very, very odd for how poorly the Suns have played over the past few years. But I guess Dallas hasn't been that great until this year, too. It was an interesting game. I mean, we were just talking about knocking on wood last time we talked, playing the Suns on Saturday, because, you know, I thought they were going to run away with the win, the Wolves, on Saturday. But now Phoenix is going into the Timberwolves game with a 1-game winning streak, and Minnesota is a 3-game losing streak. So I'm still high on the Wolves winning, obviously, but it's not a good look right away.
Well, and the thing is, too, is that they gave up some looks. Obviously, Devin Booker is going to space their floor the most, but Dallas gave up some looks from downtown, and they didn't shoot a ton of threes. They shot 27 threes, the Suns did against the Mavericks, but they hit 10 of them, so they took advantage of those shots. Obviously, they were hot in that game, and maybe that doesn't carry into Saturday, but I'm just saying it's concerning when you're preparing for a team, and this is any team against the Timberwolves, that takes advantage of the looks they get from three, because the Timberwolves are definitely going to give up some looks. And that's the reason for concern. I know maybe people are like, hey, okay, seriously, you're going to hit the panic button against the Suns. But this team is not good on the road this year. They are a totally different team on the road. And so even when it is a team like the Suns, I think there is a little cause for concern when the Suns are coming in hot in this game and they're taking advantage of the three-point shooting. T.J. Warren knocked down 30 points against the Mavericks. It's just this team is so bad on the road that it doesn't take a lot for me to think, oh, no, here we go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely I shouldn't be nervous going into this, but I am. But I'm going to kind of go off of what you just said about T.J. Warren. He's having an amazing season. I mean, he's been very low-key the past few years, mostly because people are so down on his defense that he hasn't getting a lot of credit for what he's doing out there for the Suns. Some of his minutes can be empty and his numbers could be inflated. But, I mean, he's putting up really great numbers this year at a high efficient level. He's shooting 44% from three, which is crazily high from last year at 22%. He's shooting 4 of them a game, 52% from the field and averaging 18 points a game. So that's definitely a guy to watch out for. Luckily, it's probably the only guy to watch out for besides maybe Ayton, just because Devin Booker's out.
Well, and you look at obviously shooting a lot better than last year, but you look at the last 2 years, his body of work from three, 26% from three. The year before, he shot 22% from three. So this is kind of coming out of nowhere if you're looking at the last couple of years of work for him. And two, the last couple of, or every year of his career, he's at the best average, or the highest average he's had as far as three-point attempts is 1.5. Now he's averaging basically 4 3-point attempts per game. I mean, he's stepping into the absence of Devin Booker, and he's really filling a role for the Suns right now, and he's doing it at an impressive rate. The other thing, too, you talked about DeAndre Ayton. There is, I mean, Cat should crush Ayton. Cat should just be really Absolutely. Great against Ayton. I mean, not because Ayton is necessarily a bad player, but Karl-Anthony Towns just has a lot of tricks in his bag of basketball that he can pull out. That said, there is kind of the underlying, what if Ayton kind of takes this as like the game where he can really show up one of the better unicorns in the NBA and try and really use this game to establish himself early on in the season. And so there is a chance that Ayton really comes out and just goes balls to the wall.
It's definitely quite possible. I also think we need to probably, I don't know, I'm getting pretty nervous. I'm trying to rail it back a little bit. Like, I can't see Minnesota's locker room going into this game and them not being fiery. I mean, they're, you know, it's a away game. They know they're not going to win. I think they've only won one game away. I might be wrong about that.
Two. So they have two road wins.
They really need to step it up this game. There's, like, no excuses. So guys like Karl-Anthony Towns need to take advantage of, you know, the 20-year-old DeAndre Ayton, who hasn't had a great year from defensive perspective, even though he's averaged a block, I think. So if he can take advantage of him, I think they'll be set. I do have a question for you, though, which is kind of interesting. I've been asking some of my Minnesota friends this. Would you rather have right now $11 million TJ Warren for the next 3 years, or would you rather have the $25 to $30 million Andrew Wiggins for the next 3 years?
Yikes. I'm still rolling with my boy Wiggins.
I love Wiggins, yeah.
I know that there has been problems, and this year it kind of seems like he's having an identity crisis, and he on offense where he can't really find his shot, a consistent shot for him, a consistent spot for him. I still think his ceiling is really good, though. I really do. And I'm not sure exactly. It's starting to feel more and more like it's kind of a magic combination for him to really get to that ceiling. But if you can hit that, oh, man, I feel like it'd be awesome. I feel like it'd be really awesome. And if you take away the name, I know there's a lot of money involved, but even if you just take away the name, if you just look at his offensive stats, they're pretty solid. I mean, throughout his career, he's got pretty solid offensive stats. And his defense, while it is inconsistent, his defensive prowess is there. It is there. Like, it is apparent that he has the potential to be a really good defender. And this year, he's averaging his highest mark in steals and blocks this year. And he's doing better defensively. He's playing more free-flowing basketball defensively. And so I still ride with Wiggins.
Yeah, from a fan's perspective, I'm definitely right there with you. From a front office, I'd probably be a no-brainer for me just to take TJ Warren, just because if you're looking at face value statistics, you're going to get mostly the load that you get from TJ Warren in a game than you would get from Wiggins. But from a fan's perspective and what I know, aesthetically watching Wiggins, his potential, it's through the roof. I would even go to the length of saying he is a ceiling of like a Paul Pierce type player. Unfortunately, the floor might be lower than what he's playing like right now, so that's also troublesome. I do know he's been playing amazing the past 5 to 7 games, which we talked about in the last pod. So yeah, I'm definitely excited to see him. I was only asking the question because of that contract. Like a guy like TJ Warren, his ceiling is most likely a Tobias Harris, who's struggling to find his ceiling right now. So definitely I agree with that potential with Wiggins. You can't really let him go for a guy like TJ Warren, but I'm just interested in that.
Do you think that Wiggins' floor is what he did last year? Or do you think it's lower?
That's tough.
Because last year he was basically about as inefficient as he's been, and he didn't have the defensive stats really.
Yeah, so I mean, if he can average 17 points a game, close to 18 points a game each season for the next 10 to 12 years, you know, he might even grab an all-star here or there. That's a solid career. It's a solid player. It really is just that contract. It's really tough. You know, paying, I think it's $40 million or $34 million by 2022, 2023 at age 27. That might be fair at that time because that'll be his prime. But right now it's just tough paying $25 million for 16, 17 points a game. And of course, that's just points. He's doing a lot of things off the ball and, you know, to the side that we don't even notice. So again, it's the potential that's there. The floor is tough, though. If this is the floor, so be it. I don't mind him being in a Wolves jersey for the rest of his career. He can't just re-sign another max, though, at 28.
Yeah, and let's not pretend like this isn't the most gross overspending that the Timberwolves have done in their history. So if you want to get into Timberwolves contracts, there are some worse ones that you can pull up that were way more egregious than this one. Because he's going to at least give you some return here. There are some way worse ones. And I would still ride with Wiggins. Before we head out here, Trey, what are you thinking for this game? Wolves win? Are you still calling a Wolves victory here?
I'm definitely going to call a Wolves victory here. I am nervous, and we haven't talked about it yet, of that Jamal Crawford revenge game. We just came from a Nemanja Bjelica revenge game, so now I'm getting more nervous because Jamal Crawford pretty much won that game against Dallas yesterday, where he scored 10 points in the fourth quarter somehow. So that man is still doing it, close to the age of 40, or he might be 40 now, I don't know. So if he can come away with a revenge game, I'm going to get really nervous by halftime. So that'll be the number one thing I watch besides TJ Warren and DeAndre Ayton, is watching Crawford come off the bench and possibly torch Minnesota.
You know, I played Jamal Crawford in basketball one time.
Ooh, how did that go?
Not well. I will leave the location of the gym nameless just so that hopefully he comes back. But we were playing pickup basketball and he shows up. It was awesome. He shows up in these gray Adidas Wiggins shoes and these long socks with these oversized joggers tucked into these long white socks, like tube socks, and a big baggy Nike, like really old Nike shirt that said "Best Don't Rest" or something like that. And it was just, he looked like such a dad. It was, and I know he's 40, and so obviously he's gonna look like that, but he just did not look anything like you would expect an NBA player to look. And he played three games of 21. In the first game, he scored all the points, and we were playing 5-on-5. He scored all the points in about 5 minutes. He scored 21 points. And then the second game, he laid off a little bit. He passed it around, scored like 18 of the points, and it was over in like 6 minutes. And then the third game, he was clearly messing around, getting bored. He didn't shoot at all. He just passed it. And his team still won. And there's this one play where he dribbled at half court out of a triple team. And then there was one defender left in front of the court. He dribbled out of the triple team, faked the shot, and then as he's under the basket, does like a behind his own head pass to hit a guy in the corner. And the pass went from behind his head, skipped between a guy's legs, hit the guy in the hands, and he hits the shot to win it. And it was the most crazy pass, and it was all just so easy as he floated past guys and floated around defenders and broke ankles. And he's 41. And just put in perspective, he's 41. And he's doing this to just regular people. What would it be like for LeBron James to play a regular person? Like, it's just crazy how much better at basketball these guys are than us.
Oh, it's insane that people – I think it was honestly before Rucker Park showed, when Kevin Durant, I think, went for like 60 or 70 points in that video. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
Before that, I think a lot of guys were like, I could play some bench players in the NBA, and I could probably take them on, no big deal. And when that Rucker Park film showed, it was like the best players around that area coming up and playing KD, and KD's like pulling up from like 30 feet. Like whenever he feels like it, everyone was just like, oh, okay, they are pretty good. So that's a cool story, though. I got to ask you, though, was he a trash talker?
Oh my gosh, insane trash talker. He was telling people he was asking guys why they weren't using their pockets more because their hands weren't good for anything. And he was telling people how they should get into accounting and stuff because that was the only way they were going to be able to get any stats. And it was awesome. He was shit talking up and down the entire court, and there wasn't anything you can really say to him. Because what are you going to say to Jamal Crawford?
You absolutely can't say anything, or he's going to pull up in your face.
And he did. And it was super rude. It hurt my feelings a little bit. But at the same time, it was super fun. That just came up because we were talking about Jamal Crawford. That doesn't really have anything to do with this game. I think that the Timberwolves win this game. I really think that Derrick Rose is going to have a huge game. I'm not impressed with the backcourt as far as what they can throw at Derrick Rose. And I know I was hyping up D'Anthony Melton the other day, but he just can't keep up with Derrick Rose. He won't be able to. And he's grabbing starts in place of Devin Booker. And so I think that Derrick Rose is going to be able to cut through this defense like Swiss cheese, and he should be able to go for like 30, 35 points. And I think that's going to be the big difference maker in this one is what he's able to do offensively against the Suns. And I think there will be a real moment in like the third quarter where we're nervous, but Derrick Rose is probably going to end up with 10 points in the fourth quarter.
I like that call. I agree with you. I think Derrick Rose will have a big game. I'm going to stick with the Wolves winning this one, but I'm going to say that Karl-Anthony Towns cooks DeAndre Ayton like some barbecue chicken tomorrow night. I think he's really gonna give it to Ayton. I think he wants to. So he loves giving it to those top five, top ten, number one picks. He likes messing with the young guys, even though he is young himself. He just wants to show him who's boss. So I can see that happening with Towns tonight. I like the Rose call too, but definitely come out with the win tonight. So yeah, I'm liking it.
All this food referencing is making me hungry, so I'm gonna go eat. Trey, it's been another fun podcast. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.